Creighton Park welcoming you to those wonderful days of yesteryear. In the moments to follow, you'll hear segments from your favorite radio shows, movies, and those Saturday serial thrillers. And I'm sure that given the opportunity tomorrow to go out and purchase an old Atwater Kent radio, well, many of us would be standing in line at the department store. But alas, we just can't do that, can we? Instead, please join us as we listen to the sounds of radio in its infancy. Fred Allen was probably one of the most creative comedians of our time. For those of us old enough to remember his Sunday night program on NBC, well, we feel pretty lucky that we could share a little of his time. You know, it was Fred Allen that said, "Hollywood is a place where Iowans can mistake each other for movie stars." Oh, yes, the Fred Allen Show.
If you can't find him, kiddies, Titus Moody will take over.
The Fred Allen Show, with Fred's guest, Mary Livingston's husband, Portland Hopper, Minerva Pius as Mrs. Nussbaum, Alan Reed as Falstaff Openshaw, Parker Finley as Titus Moody, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And until I start tooting the claghorn, my name is Kenny Delmar. Gentlemen, Shakespeare said, to be or not to be. Benjamin Franklin said, remember, time is money. But for the last 8 months, all I've said is, here he is again, Fred Allen.
Thank you and good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Mr. Allen!
Well, pardon. I think we'd better get along to Allen's Alley, Portland.
What is your question tonight?
Well, recently, a Mr. Ralph Slater, a specialist in mental suggestion, made a phonograph record that he guarantees will put any insomniac to sleep. And so our question is, do you have any trouble sleeping? And if you do, what are you doing about it? It's so good to get back to Allen's Alley, Portland. It's as quiet as an eel coiling in a bucket of whipped cream. Say, I wonder if the senator is in. Let's knock.
Somebody, I say, somebody knock.
Yes,
Claghorn, your name, Senator Claghorn.
Well, now, look, I know.
Something tells me you don't remember me, son.
Look, I remember
I'm
you.
I'm from the South. The Bone and Possum Paradise.
Now, look, Senator.
The only plant life I have around my house is a Virginia creeper.
Now, wait a minute.
Every time I get chicken pox, they're Southern fried.
Senator.
Remember me now, son?
No.
Don't say no in my presence.
Why not?
N-O, that's North abbreviated.
Wait a minute, Senator. What about this sleeping problem?
No, I've solved my problem, son.
How?
When I'm ready to sleep in the Senate, I sit back and croon myself my southern lullaby.
What is your southern lullaby?
Rock-a-bye, small fry on the cotton tree top. When the southern wind blows, your cradle will rock. When the wind's from the north, I say, baby, you'll bawl. For down will come cradle, tree, and you all.
Well, very good, Senator. So long, so long, so long, Senator. So long. Well, the senator stopped just in time. I was dozing off myself. Now, I wonder how Titus Moody is doing.
Howdy, bub.
It's starting to sound like Dennis Day, Titus. Johnny, Mr. Moody. Do you have any trouble sleeping?
Daylight saving time has got everything in a swivet.
The animals are bewildered?
Yeah. My cow had insomnia.
Your cow didn't sleep at all?
The bags under her eyes were so big, I didn't know which end to milk.
You were confused, eh?
Yeah. First time I milked the wrong end and got two buckets full of homogenized tears.
Well, have you cured the cow's insomnia?
I got a book on hypnotizing.
Good.
I stood in front of the cow.
Yeah.
I stared right into her eyes.
Uh-huh.
I started waving with my hand.
Uh-huh.
I said, alakazam, alakazam, You ain't a cow, you're a hen.
You're a hen. Well, was your hypnotism a success?
Yeah, today that cow thinks she's a hen.
Well, how do you know?
Well, she's sitting on a nest.
You mean?
She's laying eggnogs. Come on, man!
Let's try this next door here.
No.
Oh, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You were expecting maybe Hoagie Carbuncle.
Tell me, Mrs. N., do you have trouble sleeping?
Who could sleep? Every night with his dreaming, my husband Pierre is waking me up.
He dreams, huh?
Always he has different things.
Dreams he's different things? How do you mean?
One night, Pierre is dreaming he is the lone stranger.
Yeah.
All night long, he is yelling, "Hi-ho, Silver!"
Hi-ho, Silver, huh?
Upstairs is living a Mr. Silver.
Yeah.
All night, he is yelling back, "Hi-ho, Nussbaum!"
No wonder you can't sleep.
Last night, he should drop dead.
What happened?
He is dreaming he is a tea kettle.
A tea kettle, huh?
All night long, Pierre is whistling.
Whistling?
In the morning when he is waking.
Yeah?
In bed with Pierre is 20 dogs.
Well, that brings us to the lavender shanty at the end of the alley. Let's try here.
You knocked 3 times. Do you think that's nice? In my last picture, the postman rang twice.
Ah, Falstaff, you have new poems tonight?
Indubitably.
Tonight we are discussing the problem of sleep.
My poem awaits your bidding.
And what is your shut-eye sonata called?
My recipe for slumber.
How does it geek?
If you cannot sleep at night and you don't know what to do, my recipe for slumber is just the thing for you. Don't waste time taking powders. Don't bother counting sheep. Don't dawdle in a hot bath, hoping you will sleep. Don't give up drinking coffee. Don't send for any gland man. You can eat and drink all night, and still you'll meet the Sandman. My recipe for slumber is older than the Sphinx. Just cut 20 tiddlies into halves, and you'll get 40 winks.
Well, thank you.
Fibber McGee and Molly was a real popular program, and it had a number one rating on radio for a whole bunch of years. Jim and Mary Jordan, well, they started on a radio station in Chicago about 1931 with a program titled The Smackouts. Jim Jordan played a grocery store proprietor who was always smack out of everything. Well, the program lasted for 4 years, until 1935. At that particular time, a national sponsor was looking for a new idea and a new show to fill their needs. Well, they looked for a whole closet full of stuff, and guess what spilled out? Fibber McGee and Molly.
It'll never work, McGee.
What do you mean it'll never work? My gosh, Molly.
Let me get this straight again.
Yeah?
You claim that you can fix this radio set so it'll tune in programs that were broadcast 20 years ago?
25 years ago, even. I'm rewiring it so I can tune it to different years instead of different stations, you see?
No, I don't.
Well, look, Tootsie. According to the McGee theory of radio Dianetics, which I'm the guy that thought it up, I claim that when you hear a broadcast once, that ain't necessarily the end of it, you see? It don't just disappear. In other words, old radio programs never die.
I know one that dies every Tuesday night.
Well, that ain't what I mean.
Now, I want to see if you remember something. The most famous telephone on radio. Archie's great conversations with Duffy made Duffy's Tavern one of radio's most popular comedies during the 40s.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern. Where do you lead me to eat? Archie DeMange speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. Hey, what's that noise? You helping your fat wife with the supper dishes? But what's all the racket? Oh, you're washing and she's throwing. Duffy, fighting again. Why don't you try romancing her? Yeah, neck her a bit, you know? Put your arms around her. Huh? Well, all right, halfway around. You can't even get that far? Oh, well, can't you catch her when she's inhaling? Oh. When she exhales, the recoil knocks you across the room. Well, Duffy, frankly, these fights of yours is very discouraging. You know, I was thinking about marriage myself. Well, it finally happened to me. Yep, I'm in love. Naturally with a girl.
Say, do you recall the two-man comedy teams? Well, I guess the greatest comedy team of all was Laurel and Hardy. They were so funny, and their unique simplicity seems to linger on to this very day.
Ollie.
What?
Speak up.
What for?
I can't hear you.
Well, if you'll get that egg down, you'll be able to hear me much better.
I just did get the egg down.
What'd you do with the eggshell?
What eggshell?
Don't tell me you've eaten the egg with the shell on it.
Well, I didn't know. You didn't tell me anything about it.
Yep. Well, Earl and Hardy captured the hearts of people all over the world. But they didn't have a monopoly. Another pair came on the scene in 1938. They were guests on the Kate Smith Hour. Who were they? Abbott and Costello. Remember the Thursday night radio program? Here's a quick catcher-upper.
Hey, Abbott!
What do you want, Costello?
Hello, Abbott. I understand that you're going to be the manager of the Lou Costello Junior Youth Foundation baseball team.
Yes, we just organized the thing.
Oh, you did?
Sure.
Well, I'd like to play on the team myself. You know, I know something about baseball.
Well, that would be accomplished.
Well, I'd like to know some of the guys' names on the team, so when I meet them on the street or in the ballpark, I'll be able to say hello to them.
Why, surely I'll introduce you to the boys. But you know, strange as it may seem, they give these ballplayers nowadays very peculiar names.
You mean funny names?
Nicknames, pet names, like Dizzy Dean.
Better Daffy?
Daffy Dean.
And I'm their French cousin.
French cousin?
Gouffet.
Gouffet. Well, now, let's see. We have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
What silly name? I say who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You know the fellow's name?
Well, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
Have you got a first baseman?
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Now tell me who's on first.
That's right.
I want to know what's the guy's name on first.
No,
base.
No, what's on second
I'm
base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. Now, we're not mentioning third. Now, let's get together.
How did I get on third base?
You happen to mention his name.
If I mention a third baseman's name, who did I face playing third
no,
base?
No, who is playing first?
I'm not asking you who's on first.
Who is on first?
I'm asking you what's the guy's name on third?
What is on second?
Who's on second?
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go, back on third again.
Well, I can't change their name.
You got a first baseman?
Absolutely.
When you pay him off every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it. Why not? The man's entitled to it.
Who is?
Yes.
So who gets it?
Sure he does. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes.
Well, all I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base?
Listen, what is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
You got an outfield?
Well, surely.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I just thought I'd ask.
Well, I just thought I'd say.
Then tell me who's playing left field.
Who is playing first?
Stay out of the infield.
Now, don't mention the names out here.
I want to know what's the left fielder's
what
name.
What is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base. Name?
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's center field. Now, you know these players as well as I do.
Look, you got a pitcher on the team?
Wouldn't this be a fine team without a pitcher?
The pitcher's name?
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you, man.
Then go ahead.
Tomorrow.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow you going to tell me who's pitching?
Now, listen. Who is not?
I'll break your arm, you say, who's on first. I want to know what's the pitcher's
what's
name.
What's on second?
I don't know. Third base. Got a catcher?
Charlie.
The catcher's name?
Today.
Today, and tomorrow's pitching.
Now you've got it.
Now I've got it. I don't even... Look, all we got is a couple of days on it.
I can't help that.
A couple of days.
Don't get excited, now.
Who's your next side?
Take it easy.
You know, I'm a pretty good catcher myself.
Tell a dummy.
Now, I'll catch today myself. I'm going to catch.
Yes.
And tomorrow's pitching on the team.
Yes.
Now, tomorrow throws the ball and the guy up bunts the ball.
Yes.
Now, when he bunts the ball, me being a good catcher, I want to throw the guy out of first base, so I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now, that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's all you have to do.
Is to throw the ball to first base.
Yes.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
If I throw the ball to first base, somebody's got to get it.
Yes.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
Naturally?
Naturally.
Oh, so I throw the ball to naturally.
You do nothing of the kind. You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
That's what I said.
No, you didn't.
Did I throw the ball to naturally?
But you don't.
I throw it to who?
Naturally.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not working that way.
I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
You ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Well, say...
Same as you. I throw the ball to who?
That's
naturally.
Naturally.
Now, whoever it is drops the ball so the guy runs a second.
Yes.
Who picks up the ball and throws it to what? What throws it to I don't know. I don't know throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play.
Yes.
Another guy gets up and it's a long fly ball to be caught. Why? I don't know. He's on third, and I don't give a darn.
What'd you say?
I said, I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
But you know, the very first comedy duo dated back to the 20s and consisted of that industrious old Amos and his lazy buddy Andy. Well, looking back, I guess the program is best remembered for that sly old dog Kingfish.
Kingfish?
Yeah, just season. I kind of choke up, Andy.
I was filled with the spirit of friendship and brotherly love.
Kingfish.
Oh, what is it, Andy, old pal?
I ain't got no present for you.
How would you like to have a punch in the mouth?
Listen, Kingfish, don't you say nothing to me. I give you that pen and pencil set last year, and you didn't give me nothing.
Yeah, well, then I can explain that to you. Now, wait a minute.
The young people nowadays talk about having soul. Well, I guess that means having heart. And an entertainer that had more heart than anybody else was Eddie Cantor. During the early 40s, more people listened to Eddie Cantor's show than any other program. Matter of fact, President Roosevelt broadcasting his fireside chats was the only one who ever had a higher rating than Mr. Cantor. Remember his opening?
Our guest star, Cary Grant, with Margaret Whiting, Cookie Fairchild and his orchestra, Bert Gordon, the Mad Russian, and yours truly, Harry Bonzel, bring you
The Eddie Cantor Show.
Listen, I have never heard you in better voice.
Me neither, Harry. La donna mobile quel fiumal vento, mucha de cento. Did you ever hear such a voice,
Harry?
I'm singing better.
I don't. And how do you keep singing with such vitality?
I'll sing even better once I get my new radio network started, the Cantor Broadcasting Company.
Oh, yeah, Eddie, I understand you went over to Jack Benny's to get money for your new network.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How'd you make out?
How'd I make out? Well, I went over to Jack's house Tuesday, and I came in while Jack was paying Rochester his salary.
Wait, just a minute. Tuesday? I happen to know that Rochester gets paid on Monday.
I know, but it takes Jack Benny 24 hours to let go of the money.
Speaking of Jack Benny, remember his trip to the vault?
See, in a way, I feel kind of sorry for poor Ed, down there alone in the vault all these years. The moat looks pretty full.
Things on the outside.
Oh, not so good. There's been thousands of cases of measles in Los Angeles.
I've never heard of that before.
Measles?
No, Los Angeles.
Well, Los Angeles is a city that has been built since you've come down here,
you see? Oh. Nice of you to come down to visit me, Mr. Benny.
Well, this isn't a social visit. I'm here on business.
Oh. How much money are you going to put in the vault?
No. I'm taking some out.
My, this is exciting.
Well, I think I'll open the safe. Now, let's see. The combination is right to 45. Left to 60. Back to 15. Then left to 110. There.
There's a recent movie called Funny Girl. It's the story of Fanny Bryce, but it left out one detail, and that was on Friday nights way, way back when Fanny Bryce took the role of the lovable baby Snooks and snuggled her way into the American living room. This is the way she did it.
Well, come along, Snooks. We'll try to make ourselves presentable for the great Charles Harding Blair.
While you're at it, you might glance through those books on the table.
Books?
Yes, Mr. Blair's books. He wrote them.
The very least you can do is glance through them so you'll have some basis for dinner table conversation.
Oh, Vera, this is going too far.
It is not.
Read me about China.
Very well, I'll just read something at random.
All right.
Traveling in our little skiff down the Yangtze River,
yeah,
we suddenly came upon a large building. The reader will never guess what it was.
Maybe it was a Yangtze Stadium.
Very funny.
Yeah, I'm funny.
Do you mind if I continue reading?
Please do.
Very well. The reader will never guess what it was, although Oolong, my number one boy, made a feeble pun about the building, saying it might be the Yangtze Stadium.
Thanks for the memories. Oh, my goodness. Thanks for the memories. What in the world can be said about Bob Hope that hasn't been said at least 1,000 times before? I got a real treat for you here. It seems that on April 30th, 1938, to be exact, the show sounded like this.
In the big broadcast of 1938, I, Bob Hope, played the character of Buzz Feeling, a chap who'd been married and divorced 3 times. Buzz is pretty disgusted with life and love in general when he meets his first wife, Cleo. Ladies and gentlemen, presenting my first wife, Miss Shirley Ross. Hello, Cleo.
Hello, Buzz, darling.
Well, you look grand tonight.
Oh, thank you. You're looking wonderful, too.
Pretty dress.
You like it?
Are those long dresses in style again?
Well, so I hear.
Well, I'm glad I have a memory.
That's an awfully nice suit.
You like that?
Yes, yes, awfully nice. Do you think suits like that will ever come back?
Well.
Say, who's tying your tie now?
Oh, I have a little boy that does that.
You really should fire him, dear. That reminds me, I was going through an old trunk of mine yesterday. What do you think I found?
What's that?
That green tie with a caviar on it, remember?
With caviar? Eggs Benedict, maybe, but caviar never.
Oh, yes, caviar. Have you forgotten the last party we gave in Paris?
Oh, yes, I remember. Say, that was about the maddest gendarme I ever saw.
You know, Buzz?
What's that, Cleo?
I kind of miss your... You're singing in the bathtub.
Good old singing.
Good old bathtub.
Now, here's a really funny sequence between Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. It was on a summer night in 1953 when they both appeared on Bing Crosby's radio show at Fort Ord, California.
We now take you to a secluded, wooded side road on the Monterey Peninsula. It's a beautiful, balmy evening, and the stars twinkle down upon a boy and a girl seated in a Jeep.
Isn't this a wonderful night, honey?
Sure is.
You know, all my life I've been saving my kisses for a girl just like you.
And tonight you'd like to lose your life savings, huh?
Yep, I want to shoot the works. Wowie!
Let go of me. What's the matter with you?
Long time no see.
Behave yourself and read that comic book I brought you.
Okay, hold the flashlight. Golly, this is a thriller.
Shall I read it to you?
Yeah, just the print, and I'm good on pictures. Oh, boy. This is the biggest night of my life. Just think, a date with a Salinas girl.
It's a big night for me, too. Just think. A date with a volunteer lettuce picker.
But, Monica, really, I'm crazy about you. I really am. And I want to tell you that I... What's that, a critic?
That's supposed to be a motorcycle. We forgot to bring a sound man.
Boy, what a cheap show. How'd I get trapped?
Never mind that. Now, may I see your pass, soldier?
Golly, it's a military policeman.
Oh, please, Mr. MP, sir. Go easy on me. I know this racket, you know. Don't drag me off to the guardhouse. I'm innocent, I tell you. I'm innocent.
Now, don't be afraid, my boy. I'm here to help you.
You are?
Of course.
Oh, then hold this girl. I want to kiss her.
Well, if you two want a neck, I'd better hop on my motorcycle and plunge off into the darkness.
Not far to the beach. How'd that line get in there?
Now, young man, I don't want to be a pest or anything, but inasmuch as you're off the post and 3 o'clock in the morning, I would like to know if you have a pass.
Pass?
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes. Here's my pass.
Thank you. This is a pass from World War I.
Well, I am a little overdue.
Well, now, don't you let it worry your pretty little head.
I feel like a cad.
You know, I've never ridden on a motorcycle.
Oh, you haven't? Well, come on, I'll take you for a ride right now.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
No, don't interfere. Just hop right up here, miss.
Okay.
Well, good night.
Good night.
Goodbye, Bob.
Monica, come back. You can't leave me alone.
Why not?
Well, who's going to hold a flashlight for my comic book?